Hey, everybody, this is Dave, the head coach of Lafayette, back in action with the chance to do a conference tourney results show and the tournament bracket reveal. Thanks again to Liberty's head coach for allowing us the real estate to do this. Also, a big congrats to him personally on recently purchasing a home. Some things in life are more important than the sim, not many, but some. I am back with Matt, one of the sim's chief analysts and current head coach of Kennesaw State, who's back to break down the results, talk bracketology, and help me reveal the tournament bracket. Matt, are you excited for this?
I am super excited. Also, congratulations on the home ownership, Liberty, Real Sim Shady. Congratulations. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm certain his bank account's not faking him right now, but hopefully he's on his way to building himself a nice home with his family. Because Eli's likely not going to be able to slow roll the tourney results today or tomorrow morning, we're going to share the results first like we did last time, then get into the bracket. We'll be doing commentary along the way and break down some bracket stuff after the fact. Before we do that, though, Matt, as a primer for these results, tell us what you're looking for, who's on the bubble, who's on the right side of it, the wrong side. Also, for those coaches who are giving this a listen, Matt put an awesome document together for the bubble watch. So thank you for that. But yeah, what are you looking for as we get into this?
I am looking for conference tournament favorites to go through in one bid conferences. So if you're a bubble team, we're looking at Monmouth to win their conference tournament. We're looking at Green Bay to win their conference tournament. We're looking at Old Dominion to win their conference tournament. We're looking at Ohio. We're looking for these perennial one bid conferences. We want the favorites to go through because, you know, those teams are all going to take bubble spots. And if you're Lafayette, St. Bonaventure, if you're Connecticut, Cincinnati, if you're Minnesota, that's going to be a tough one right there. Baylor, Creighton, Georgetown, just even if you just go through the bubble watch there, Hofstra, Delaware State, Florida Atlantic, Detroit, so there, that's going to be a tough one there. Canisius Ryder, Ohio is still on the work to do, but I think, you know, they're still one of the favorites. Pretty much everybody in the middle half of that Missouri Valley Conference, the middle of the Pac-12 Conference too, the middle of the SEC, Chattanooga, just pretty much all those teams. If you're a bubble team, just root for the favorites to win.
Well, I mean, you listed a lot of teams out there, so everyone's got some hope. And hey, if you're in the conference tournament as one of the top eight teams of your conference, then you've got a shot. History of the Sim has taught us that eight seeds and seven seeds and low seeds can make their run to the big dance. So we'll see what happens. It is post July 4th, but if you've got any beer or liquor left from the weekend that you want to polish off, now's a good time to do it. But let's get into it. So starting with the A-10, as some context, and we'll try to do this for each conference, VCU almost had a perfect season, losing in this last cycle to St. Louis, who was banned from postseason play. And boy, what a tragedy that is, given they have an SOR of 27. Folks, if you don't think in-season strategy and sliders matter, look no further than this conference. St. Joe's had the second-best roster rating and finished fifth. Radford had the fifth-best roster rating in the A-10 and finished tied for second. My own Lafayette squad is on the bubble here with the 49 SOR. Not a great spot to be in. Six postseason eligible teams with an SOR sub 60, so let's see what we get. First round, Lafayette upsets St. Joe's 75-73. Holy shit. All the other top seeds held. In the semis, VCU annihilated Lafayette by 30. Not good for any glamour points on my team's side. And then Radford, number three seed, beats 2-seed Penn State. In the final, VCU beats Radford by 16. VCU tore through this tourney, averaging a margin of victory of 22 points. Matt, what do you have here?
Yeah, VCU is just the cream of the Atlantic 10 this year. Their sixth tourney appearance coming up. I think that of the teams that are on the bubble, I think that, I mean, it's going to be tough, but the win over St. Joe's coupled with the loss to VCU, I think that could potentially be enough for Lafayette to get in. I don't really want to get your hopes up, but, you know, we'll see.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to have the most torture of this entire show, given I get my result first and then I got to wait for this tournament bracket to get revealed. But we'll keep it moving. Let's go to the ACC, the only conference where the team who finished sixth can have an SOR of an 8. That was UNC. Yeah. What a battle this was in the conference. Boston College finishing number one. FSU, led by first-year coach from Idaho, finishing second, despite a roster that only ranked 6th in the conference. And the reward is actually playing a stacked UVA team in the conference tournament in the 2-7 matchup. So we'll read all these results out, given we've got active Discord coaches who might be listening in. 1 seed BC beat Louisville, the 8 seed, but in overtime by 2. Wake Forest beat Notre Dame in the 4-5. Duke loses to 6 seed UNC, and 2 seed FSU indeed was beaten by 7 seed UVA. 1 seed BC then loses to Wake Forest 78-69, and UVA wins again, beating UNC by a point. So the final is a 4-7 matchup. And that game, Wake takes it 82-78, giving them the auto berth.
Yeah, congratulations to the Demon Deacons. That is their first ACC championship, and it'll be their first tournament appearance. So congratulations to those guys. No bubble teams here. They're all in. This conference is just stacked, and all 8 of these teams are going to be really dangerous to match up with.
Well, I did not realize that about Wake Forest. It feels like they've been around the sim for quite a long time, so congrats to their coach. Let's go to the America East. It's been all Vermont in the regular season, finishing 15-1 in conference. Their roster is almost a full 2.7 points better than the second highest rated roster at 13.225. So if they make it, they could be a tough out. In the final, 1 seed Vermont bows out to 2 seed Albany in a tight one, 73-71, giving Albany the auto bid. Matt, nothing here in terms of the bubble, right?
No, nothing concerning the bubble, but the America East keeps up their perfect record of the number 1 seed going into the conference tournament, never winning the conference tournament.
Wow, that's insane. Okay, I know that was the case, but congrats to Albany for making it to the big dance, and we'll see if they can spring an upset when they get their matchup announced. On to the American, maybe the most down conference of any this season, a real chance that they're a one-bid league. UConn went 15-1 after a tough non-conference performance, and maybe the only team with an outside shot of an at-large with an SOR of 51. Side note, UConn might have the best roster in the history of the Sim in a few seasons. Check them out. They've got legit an embarrassment of riches. On to the results. Top seeds held in the corners, minus Temple losing to 6 seed SMU. UConn narrowly defeats South Florida 75-71 in the semis. While SMU loses in the semis on the other side to Cincinnati. In the final, Cincinnati beats UConn in a thriller, 74-72, to take the American title. Matt, what do you make of this?
I make that, UConn squarely on the bubble. Like you said, this was more than likely going to be a one-bid conference, possibly a two-bid. There were a couple teams there, like South Florida and Temple were still, they needed the right things to break, but Temple losing in the first round, South Florida bowing out in the second round, those guys are done. Cincinnati with the auto bid now it's up to UConn. Does UConn have enough? Did they do enough to get themselves in there? I don't know. It's going to be really, really close.
This is going to be nutty, and we're only a few tournaments in. Was Cincinnati the coach in Discord that announced that this was their last season? I can't remember.
I think so.
Okay, well, what a way to go out, springing the 2-1 upset and having one more chance to make noise in the big dance. Let's move to the Atlantic Sun. You may know them for the Citadel coach. I know them as the only conference channel I've muted since all I see are Twitter reposts. This was a tight battle at the top of the season with Stetson and Florida Gulf Coast, despite Jacksonville having the best roster by 0.5 over anyone else. Citadel, as the 3 seed, loses early to 6 seed Mercer while the top teams held. Skipping ahead to the final, 4 seed Jacksonville beats those Mercer Bears by 29 to take the auto bid.
Yeah, no surprise here. No surprise here. Jacksonville was the best team all year. Even though they came in as a 4 seed, it was one of those things for me as Kennesaw State. Just like, yeah, we're going to, if we lose to those guys, they're going to win the whole thing. And they're a tough team. They're going to be their second appearance in the big dance. In fact, I believe this is back-to-back Atlantic Sun championships for them. But congratulations to Jacksonville, and good luck. Hopefully you represent the conference well.
Matt, I'm so sorry. I totally neglected to read your result there. But yes, indeed, in the 4-5, Kennesaw State lost by 7 points. Sorry, Matt. Maybe I just didn't want to rub salt in the wound.
That's okay. We only lost by 7. Stetson lost by 13. And Mercer almost lost by 30. So I'm not feeling too bad.
Let's take the small wins. I get it. Well, let's get to the Big Ten, where we had Michigan State and Wisconsin tied for first to 15-1. Huge bounce back season for Wisconsin, who finished 9th in the Big Ten a season ago, but had an SOR of 4 going into this tournament. In the quarters, Michigan State loses to Discord coach Minnesota in the 2-7. In the semis, Wisconsin and number 3 seed Michigan won handily. And then in the finals, Wisconsin, what a year, also claims the Big Ten title 70-60 over the Wolverines. Matt, what are the implications here? Seeding, bubble, et cetera?
Minnesota, that's the one to look for. Maryland I had on the bubble, but that loss to Michigan knocks them out. I thought that with a win over Michigan State, I thought Minnesota could maybe sneak in at least. And, you know, I think there's a good chance considering they did play Michigan, the number one SOR team in the semifinals. So is that going to be enough of a boost for them? I don't know.
Well, Minnesota, I hate to break it to you, but it sounds like you're going to have to listen to the rest of the show to find out your fate. But hopefully you'll listen to the rest of these results and see how this breaks down onto the Big 12. Everyone on Discord has been keenly watching the battle between Oklahoma State and Kansas. Remember, folks, OSU has the second best roster in the country. They backed it up with a 26-2 season, their only loss being towards the end of the season at Kansas. Also, I don't know who the fuck manages Texas, but they seemingly always have a good team. They have a historical 73.6% winning percentage, and people may not realize they're a prestige two school. Matt, I don't know if you knew this or if you've been paying attention. I don't think about Texas, but come tourney time, they're always here.
Texas is one of those programs that, like, yeah, exactly. You're just kind of like, oh yeah, they're there. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't think about them literally until this bracket reveal show or until the brackets come out. But on to the results for Kansas State. Coach's benefit, I'll read a result. They lost in a nail biter 65-64 in the 4-5 game. In the final, we did have the rematch everyone wanted to see. 1 seed Oklahoma State, 2 seed Kansas. Oklahoma State prevails 74-62 to take the Big 12. Matt, does that sew up a 1 seed in the big dance for them?
I think so. I think that the Oklahoma first round game was kind of that could kind of maybe pull their SOR down, but you know, big win over Baylor, another win over Kansas. Yeah. I think Oklahoma State should be considered for a number one seed, maybe that 3 or 4 number one seed, but we'll see what happens coming up. We still have some other big contenders who could have a part to play in that.
Yeah, certainly. Well, congrats to the Pokes for what they did there in the Big East. Villanova had wrapped up a perfect conference season. DePaul and Florida State's former coach, they're the former coach of DePaul and Florida State, made the leap to Villanova in the offseason. Creighton probably on the outside looking in with an SOR of 65, but with, I think, 5 or 6 juniors, next year might be their big bounce back year, but with a chance to make a run in this tournament. All the top seeds held in the quarters. In the semis, 1 seed Villanova beat Butler and 2 seed Providence down Seton Hall. In the final, Villanova loses to Providence by 14, giving the Friars a Big East title. Matt, any turning implications here?
I think that the bubble teams can be very happy that Creighton and Georgetown lost early. I think that other than that, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think Providence getting the auto bid, I don't think they were on the outside looking in. I think they were already probably looking like they were going to trend into the tournament. But should be pretty good.
Well, congrats to Providence. They get to sit back and wait for their seed to be revealed. For the Big Sky, Weber State reasserted its dominance with a 15-1 conference record. Idaho graduated 6 seniors but was 2nd in the league. This is obviously a one-bid league. All the top seeds held until the final, with Weber State getting crushed by 2-seed Idaho, 73-52. Idaho, I think, makes its 3rd or 4th consecutive Big Dance. This one was at the expense of Weber State, who is a great Discord coach, so sorry to see the result, given I was personally pulling for him, but unfortunately that's not how it fell this time around.
That's the third consecutive appearance for Idaho out of the Big Sky.
Well, congrats to the Vandals, and And that program that continues to be strong out of the Big Sky. For the Big South, UNC Asheville was the one seed. We finally heard from Richmond again after their transfer in conferences with Radford as they finished second in the conference. Our favorite former MAC coach, Winthrop, who came over from Western Michigan, nabbed a three seed in the tourney. Winthrop actually bows out in a 3-6 game, 64-60 to Gardner-Webb. And ultimately, the one seed does win the title, UNC Asheville winning by 8 over Richmond to win the auto bid. Congrats to them on taking down the Big South. Let's get to the Big West. Long Beach State finished the conference season a perfect 16-0. A couple teams finishing these conference seasons perfect. They have a great coach who's been dedicated to the Big West for a long time now. Still a one-bid league, though, as UC Davis has fallen off since their former head coach left for SMU. The only upset we ended up seeing here was Cal Poly beating UC Davis in the semis, but Long Beach in the 1-versus-3 final wins the auto bid 74-64. The 49ers coach who's great in the Discord continues to have success. Congratulations to him.
Yes, congratulations to him. Third appearance in the tournament for him.
Very cool. Yeah, he's a good guy. Been in the Bracket Busters a number of times, so it's a point for him in the tournament. On to the Colonial. If you're in the Discord, you've read about the two-way battle between Delaware State and Hofstra, and if this could be a two-bid league. Delaware State finished strong and got the top seed at 15-1 in a 60 SOR. Hofstra 13-3 in a 58 SOR. No major upsets in the quarters. In the semis, Delaware State beats Towson by 15, and three seed UNCW beats Hofstra by 5 to set up the 1-versus-3 showdown in the title game. And in that title game, Delaware State loses to UNCW 66-57. Heartbreak yet again for their Discord coach as they now look ahead to the NIT. But as he has repeated a number of times on Discord, he's got no seniors and a great roster for future seasons. So we could very well see their renaissance next season. But Matt, I know this was a race that people were talking about on the Discord. So what do you think here?
I'm going to pull a Lee Corso really quick and go, not so fast, my friend. I think, you know, Delaware State, oh, man, we were talking off air on this when this tournament result came up. I like went through game by game to watch this one because I was just so intrigued with all the dynamics and the chaos scenario of UNC Wilmington winning this tournament. Throws Delaware State and Hofstra square on the bubble. If it's going to be very interesting to see where they end up because, I mean, they both have pretty strong resumes, but how does their SOR, how is it affected by the results that happened in the tournament? Is a loss to UNC Wilmington going to be enough to boost, to bump them out of the tournament, or will it not be as strong of a loss, and maybe they could still eke in? It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens with those two. And the Discord talk is going to be fantastic.
There's definitely a glimmer of hope. I'm wishful thinking on behalf of Lafayette and all the other bubble teams who are hoping that the committee sees a CAA, regular season champion fall and be undeserving. But great season, couldn't finish it off. But maybe they'll get there at large. We've seen it out of this conference before in real life. So it very well could happen here, but exciting tournament to have broken down. Let's get to the CUSA, and what a season here. You have ODU, who's currently the number 5 team in the nation, who actually tied for first with Charlotte at 15-1. This is a Charlotte team, despite having a roster almost 4 points worse than ODU, who had 15.588, and Charlotte has 11.613. Charlotte actually beat ODU on the road by 1 in the regular season. And Florida Atlantic actually had the second best roster in this conference. Bubble teams probably hoping ODU doesn't blow it here in the conference tournament. In the semis, ODU beats the 4 seed and 3 seed FAU beats Charlotte, setting up the 1-versus-3. And this game absolutely goes down to the wire with a buzzer beater, 67-66 in favor of Old Dominion. Folks on the bubble must be breathing a sigh of relief, right, Matt?
Oh, yes. This is one of those games that I'm pretty sure America stopped to watch the end of this game because this, so many teams' fate hung in the balance of this game, and Old Dominion was able to pull it off and save a bubble team. We'll see, you know, whoever that last team in, you know, you can thank Old Dominion for being in the tournament.
Congrats to ODU. Yeah, this feels like one of those tournaments that got played on a Saturday afternoon during the last weekend of conference tournaments, and everyone tunes in to see what happens. But congrats to ODU on moving on, and we'll see what happens with their Conference USA brethren in terms of postseason play. On to the Horizon, another interesting conference in terms of bubbles. Green Bay's had a strong season, their coach active on Discord and sharing great analytics. They finished a game ahead of both Detroit and Wright State. Could we get a bit stealer here as Detroit's on the bubble and Green Bay seems safely in? The big upset – oh, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, yeah, it's going to – if it falls for Detroit's favor, if they can make it to the final, I think that – and even a loss to Green Bay, I think that would be enough to get them in. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, the big upset in this tournament actually happened in the semis where IUPUI did beat Detroit in the 6-2. So that might have been a bubble-bursting loss for Detroit. Green Bay made the finals. They had a much easier final. They dispatched IUPUI by 24 to claim the Horizon. Their average margin of victory was 19 points during this tournament. Matt, anything to glean here? Did Detroit's bubble indeed get burst?
Yeah, I think it did. I think that they would have had a chance if Wright State had potentially beaten IUPUI in the quarters. But IUPUI being a 6 seed and being a really, really low SOR, I don't think that's going to reflect well in Detroit. I think that they have not done enough to get in.
Got it. Well, tough loss not making it to the finals there, but we'll see what their fate is shortly here. On to the Ivy, Princeton finishing the conference season undefeated, but actually had an SOR 56 spots worse than number 2 Penn, who was 14-2 in conference. Let's skip ahead to the final where we indeed did have 1-2, Princeton versus Penn, and Princeton loses to Penn 68-63. Congrats to Penn's head coach, who seems to be a more familiar name now in the Discord. So great stuff there.
Yes, and I think he prophesied this morning in the Discord where he said, and I quote in the Ivy League chat, you know what they say, tough to beat a team 3 times in a year. Fingers crossed. Well, you're in.
Either that or maybe Eli is sending these results out to more people than I originally thought. So, but congrats to him either way, and we'll see him in the big dance later this week. On to the MAC, the Metro Atlantic. Season 8 was the resurgence of Monmouth, finishing the conference season 15-1 and with an SOR of 22, despite having 4 teams in the conference who were within 1 point of each other in terms of roster rating. Top seeds held in the quarters. In the semis, 2 seed Canisius beats 3 seed Ryder by just 3 points, and Monmouth loses to 4 seed Quinnipiac by 17. Ouch. The at-large selection committee might not love that result. In the final, 2 seed Canisius advances, and they get the auto bid. Matt, what does this do to Monmouth?
I think Monmouth's fine. I think they were a lock in to go. It may affect their seed number a little bit, but for bubble teams, this could be very, very bad, because I had Quinnipiac, Canisius, and Ryder all on the bubble, all needing the results that they almost got. And Quinnipiac with that win over Monmouth, I mean, that opened it up right there. Now the biggest thing is we know Canisius is going to get in as an auto bid. We know Monmouth is more than likely going to get in as an auto bid, but or as an at-large. But with Quinnipiac's win over Monmouth, is that enough to boost Quinnipiac into the tournament too? Mm. This is going to be another thing to watch right there for your bubble teams.
It's interesting watching these conference tournament results play out because, yeah, you can improve your final SOR and build your resume in these last games, even if you don't win the title. So even for these smaller conferences, some of these wins and getting a win over Monmouth as the 22 SOR team, that definitely could take them over the top over some other folks. So we'll see what happens, but congrats to that team on the title. Can you see us winning again as the 2 seed? For the MAC, some Discord MAC stalwarts are in rebuild mode, which meant Ohio surged to the top of the conference, finishing 14-2. This might look like a one-bid league, not sure. First round, 1 seed Ohio won. Miami of Ohio loses by a point to Buffalo in the 4-5. 2 seed Kent State beats 7 seed Bowling Green by 4 points. And 6 seed Western Michigan upsets Ball State 73-64. In the semis, Western Michigan with another upset, beating 2 seed Kent State 75-74. Ohio beat Buffalo by 2 in the semis. And in the final, Ohio does get by the pesky Broncos 69-65. So the 1 seed does win the auto bid here, Matt. And I'm sure people are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief living that bubble life.
Absolutely. Like I said, Ohio, they needed Ohio to win this conference to keep as many bubble opportunities available. Yeah, it's probably only be a one-bid MAC this year, but this conference is one that I have no doubt will bounce back fairly quickly.
Yep, absolutely. Fun to watch that conference and great coaches in the Discord for sure. But congrats on that result to Ohio. In the MEAC, NC Central went undefeated in conference. Let's skip to the end. They also took the title 63-52 over Delaware to advance to the Big Dance. Missouri Valley, Loyola, preseason number 6 rated team, still lost 2 games in this competitive conference, but finished first ahead of Evansville and then 3 other teams vying for third place. There are 3 teams in the top 55 SOR, so there might be some drama here. Favorites all won in the quarters. In the semis, Loyola loses to 4-seed Valpo by 6, and 2-seed Evansville gets past 3-seed Indiana State, giving us a 2-versus-4 in the final. In overtime, Evansville beats Valpo 68-65 to claim the auto bid. Matt, there was some wholesale drama out of the MVC this time around.
Yeah, it was a given that Loyola was going to get in, but after that, you know, Valpo, Evansville, Indiana State, Illinois State, Missouri State, all of them needed at least one win, and Evansville gets the 3 with the auto bid. Now, Valpo, I think they're going to be a close one too. That win over Loyola, it's definitely give them a boost, but they were in like the 60 range. So I think that if Valpo would have been maybe in the 58 range, 56 to 62, I think they may have gotten a boost enough to get in. But at this point, being lower, I don't know if that win over Loyola will be enough to help Valpo get in as an at-large.
I mean, you're living on razor-thin margins when you're talking about being a team on the bubble. So see what happens out of the MVC. But great tournament. In real life, it's an awesome tournament in St. Louis. Highly recommend Discord coaches and the community try to make it out for a real-life tournament out there at some point. Let's go to the Mountain West. If you follow Discord, chances are you've heard of a team named Nevada and their former coach who left for Bryant but will still lay claim to any and all Nevada success this season. They finished 15-1 in the conference and were top 5 in SOR. But have 4 teams in this conference who are really good and have top 50 SORs. In the quarters, top seeds all won. In the semis, Nevada wrecked San Diego State by 24. And 2-seed UNLV did the same against Fresno, but by 22. In the final, 2-seed UNLV cannot get it done, losing by 4 to Nevada, giving the Wolfpack their auto bid in a tight contest.
Yeah, I don't want to twist the knife anymore with Bryant's head coach, but I think that with this conference tournament win, Nevada has a strong enough resume to possibly be a number one.
I mean, I don't have a hard time feeling bad for Nevada's coach because you got to live with your decisions. Granted, he didn't think someone was going to commit to the draft, but heck of a season for the remaining roster, for the roster that stuck around. I'm sure he's proud from afar and maybe giving his Bryant team hope and inspiration for the future. Northeastern Absolutely. Conference. Yeah. In the Northeast, Wagner took care of business as the top seed during the regular season, but that Bryant coach is the one who's been making all the noise about the NEC. And we'll see if they even decide to stay in the NEC. I think there were rumbles that Bryant might try to transfer conferences at some point. We'll see what happens, but let's get to the tournament action, and I'll hit the highlights. Bryant is in a 3-versus-6 and got wrecked by 23 points, ending Bearhead coach's dream of a Cinderella-type run. In the final, we have Discord staple Wagner against 3-seed Robert Morris, and the good guys win. Wagner takes the title by 21 points, and I feel like Wagner has made the tournament a few consecutive years now, right?
Yeah, this is their fourth tournament appearance overall. And yeah, they've been a pretty strong team lately. I feel like they've been looking for a conference switch out of the Northeast, but they're starting to build themselves a nice Gonzaga-ish run out of this conference.
Yeah, and nice to see them win again with an active Wagner coach who participates yearly on Bracket Busters. So at least until Bryant steps up and gets a slot in that preseason tournament. So. Anyways, congrats to Wagner. Let's move on to the OVC, which was a 2-horse race during the regular season between Jacksonville State and SEMO. In the semis, Jacksonville State advances and SEMO squeaks by Murray State 65-61. in the final, Jacksonville State gets it done, winning by 8, 69-61. One bid league, right, Matt?
One big league, but a very, very exciting league, that's for sure. When you have a strong team like Belmont as your 5 seed and pushing the number one in the semifinals, this was a fun conference to follow all year. And I really hope that SEMO can get an at-large bid at the NIT, because I think they're a really, really good team.
Yeah, I like to see these mid-majors get their shot in postseason play, even if it's not the big dance. Pac-12, feel like no one talks about this conference until tourney time, but they've got 6 teams in the top 60 of SOR. Arizona won the regular season title at 15-1 with an insanely good 16.8 roster rating. First round, Arizona beats Oregon. 4 seed UCLA beats 5 seed Cal, 67-64. 2 seed Utah advances, and 3 seed Washington loses to Arizona State in an upset. Semifinals, Arizona and Utah both win big, giving us yet another rematch of two of the best programs in sim history. In the final, Arizona claims victory as the 1 seed, 65-58. Matt, I know the Pac-12 was a conference you were scrutinizing around the bubble and for at-larges. What does this conference look like tourney-wise to you?
Well, I think that we're going to see 3, maybe 4. I think that Arizona and Utah are good. UCLA maybe did enough with the win over California. After that, I don't know. They're all in that really, really tight range. I thought that Arizona State maybe needed 2 wins to get in. Who knows if maybe that win over Washington will be enough. Washington, California, I mean, they both exited in the first round. Is that gonna, two teams that, I mean, were kind of mid-level teams, is that gonna, with all the guys coming up from behind them, is that gonna be enough for either one of those guys to get in there? That's lots of question marks in the Pac-12. Lots of question marks.
Yeah, it seems like we get a lot of questions out of that conference besides Arizona and Utah, but we'll see what fate has for those teams that are sitting on the bubble in a few minutes. Let's move on to the Patriot. Colgate somehow won the regular season title despite being over 2 points worse than Holy Cross. The surprise here in this tournament was that Holy Cross didn't even get to the final. They got upset by 6 against Army in the semis, which caps off a really disappointing campaign by Holy Cross. And then Colgate, they get it done against Army in the final, and they get the auto bid. Congrats to the Raiders.
Yep, their first appearance in the NCAA tournament.
That's awesome. Okay, well, congrats to them, and a nod to my former conference, being a former Patriot League coach. Sun Belt, one bid league that Georgia State dominated in the regular season. For Louisiana Monroe's sake, I'll read out some results. They advanced as the 2 seed to the semifinals, but then lost to the 3 seed in the semis. And Georgia State does indeed go on to the Big Dance, winning 65-55 over Arkansas State. On to the SoCon, VMI finished 16-0 and with an SOR of 37. But we're all accustomed to craziness in this conference, so we could see a bid theft here, especially given VMI only has the 3rd best roster on the conference. Chattanooga and Liberty both have stronger rosters, but finished 2nd and 3rd respectively. Breaking down the results, in the 1-8, VMI wins handily. In the 4-5, Tennessee Tech loses to Wofford by 21. Ouch, not the way they wanted to end their season. Liberty and Chattanooga both advanced. In the semis, VMI beats Wofford 81-70. Liberty and Chattanooga go down to the wire with Chattanooga winning by 1 point, 67-66. In the final, 1-2, VMI versus Chattanooga. Chattanooga wins by 21 points, 75-54. They get the auto bid. Somewhere on Discord, a coach on the bubble is probably wanting to shoot somebody. But Matt, what does this do to the bubble right now?
That is a bid thief. VMI was a lock to get in, even with a loss there to Chattanooga in the final. But Chattanooga's win, that is one bid that has been stolen. So that's going to be another thing for, bubble teams. Sorry, just keep sweating a little bit.
Unreal. And I really enjoy all these coaches on Discord, so hats off to them for keeping a fun and lively atmosphere. But wow, I don't know if my heart could take all the drama every single year out of this tournament. But congrats to Chattanooga on advancing and getting the auto bid. To the SEC, Missouri capped off a 15-1 conference season and title. But this conference is crazy deep. 8 teams in the SOR, top 50, 10 in the top 80. In the 1-8 matchup, Missouri won. 4-5, 5 seed South Carolina beat Florida by 3. in a 3-6. Kentucky beat Ole Miss in a close one. And 2-seed Alabama gets upset by Auburn 67-64. In the semis, Missouri loses to 5-seed South Carolina by 13. Kentucky beat Auburn. And in the final, Kentucky trounces South Carolina by 21. Matt, again, I know we had some SEC bubble teams. What's your take?
Well, I had written down that I thought that Kentucky, Florida, Mississippi, Auburn, and South Carolina all needed one win to secure their bids. And we see South Carolina getting a win. We see Auburn getting a win. We see Kentucky getting a win. So if you're Florida and who's the other one? Florida and whoever the other team was, just be very, very cautious because it's going to be close. But the biggest thing there is all of those teams have strong SORs. So who knows how much that loss is going to affect them. So SEC, like you said, has been just such a crazy competitive conference. They have so many good teams, and I think that well represented.
Yeah, absolutely. Congrats again to Missouri in a great regular season, even though they didn't finish off in the conference tournament. They no doubt will be dancing come tournament bracket reveal. Southland Corpus Christi won the regular season. In the tournament, they get upset in the semis by 5th-seed Colorado State, who then said, fuck it, we want to go dancing. They even beat 2-seed New Orleans in the final 71-67 to get the auto bid in a wild conference tournament, this after being relegated to out of the Mountain West to the Southland. Matt, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, this was one of those ones that I saw it and I'm pretty sure I laughed out loud for a couple minutes. I feel terrible for Texas A&M Corpus Christi and for New Orleans and for Southeastern Louisiana, who all had such great seasons. But then you get Colorado State, who cast away from the Mountain West, comes in, makes their first NCAA appearance, just stealing the auto bid. I don't even know what to say. This is one of those ones that just like I just shake my head and laugh.
This is precisely why we do this podcast, so we can enjoy how this breaks down and watch these upsets avail themselves right on paper for us. So congrats to Colorado State, a very improbable run to the big dance. On to the summit, two-horse race between IPFW and South Dakota State. However, South Dakota State lost to 3-seed North Dakota in the semis, and in the final, 1-seed IPFW gets the job done, winning by 16. Let's hit on the SWAC as well. Grambling State finished the conference season undefeated despite having the second-best roster behind Pine Bluff. Grambling did make it to the final but lost to 3-seed Texas Southern, 65-59, a Texas Southern team that most of us will remember only because they got, like, the number one transfer a long time ago. People wondered how the hell this sim even worked, if that was possible. But congrats to Texas Southern. They make it to the big dance. On to the WAC. New Mexico State won the regular season by 2 games. They made it to the final and played Rio Grande, who had beaten 2-seed Cal Baptist in the semis by 5. And in the final, the Aggies do survive, winning 81-75 to get the auto bid as the 1-seed. And last but certainly not least, the WCC, Gonzaga as the only team in the conference with a top 50 SOR and winning the conference by 2 games. Discord coach BYU was the 4-seed here. They did advance to play Gonzaga in the semis, but the Bulldogs did beat them by 9 in the semifinals. And then in the final, our last conference tournament result against 3-seed San Diego, Gonzaga, down to the buzzer, wins 76-75 to claim an auto bid. Matt, I really thought we had another bid stealer there to literally end the conference tournament results.
Yeah, no, Gonzaga with the win, and that's going to keep one bubble team right on the mark.
Crazy, crazy times in the WCC. Congrats to Gonzaga on squeaking that one out. We are going to take a break in a few minutes, but before we do, Matt, let's get your post-conference tournament thoughts. Who's on the right side of the bubble? Who's on the wrong side? Who do you have in? Who do you have out?
Well, it's the biggest thing that's tough is not having the final SORs. So with that being said, just kind of based on what I've seen, what the SORs were coming in and conference tournament results, I think that my last four teams that are getting in, our last four buys. So these are like the 5-8 going in. We've got UCLA, we've got Seton Hall, we've got San Diego State, we've got Auburn. my last four in playing in the play-in games. I've got South Carolina, I've got Connecticut, I've got Lafayette, and I've got Minnesota. My last four in. My first four out, I've got Arizona State, I've got Indiana State, I've got Delaware State, and I've got Valpo. And then my next four, I've got California, Washington, Detroit, and Hofstra.
Wow, a lot of teams still in the hunt to get a potential bid. I'm glad Lafayette's at least in the conversation. It's been a wild ride for my team personally, but a lot of teams that are holding on to hope as we get to the conference tournament reveal, or excuse me, the NCAA tournament reveal. Matt and I are going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with the bracket. All right, Matt and I are back, about to announce the tournament bracket. Let's first acknowledge last year's champ, Michigan, who came back to beat the 9-seed Auburn in a Final Four that saw two 9-seeds make it, St. Louis being the other one. Will we see more mid-majors advance? Last season we had STL and Bowling Green make it to the Final Four. Will a champion be crowned from a new conference? It's all going to happen over the next couple of weeks. But what we'll do here is we'll read each region. Matt will share a couple of thoughts around the bubble, and we'll keep it rolling and have some commentary about the bracket overall at the end. So starting in the West, the one seed in the West, Nevada, the Wolfpack, getting the one seed as Matt potentially had them slotted after the conference tournament results. They will play 16 seed winner of Texas Southern in Jacksonville. In the 8-9, Alabama playing Evansville, who won that conference tournament. That's the 8-9. Evansville, a really strong team with a 33rd roster rating in the country. 5 versus 12, Michigan State versus San Diego State out of the NWC. 4 versus 13, Florida State against Jacksonville State. 6 versus 11, Monmouth. There we see Monmouth as a 6 playing against SEC foe Mississippi. 3 versus 14, Utah in Long Beach State. 7 seed Providence will go up against 10 seed South Carolina. And then in the 2 versus 15, we have the VCU Rams out of the A-10 facing off against New Mexico State. Matt, what do you think?
Well, first thoughts, Evansville jumping up to a 9 seed. That's very interesting to me. San Diego State at a 12. There's a bubble team right there. Mississippi is an 11. There's another bubble team. South Carolina is a 10. There's another bubble team. So it's, you know, there's good. I mean, if you're seeing bubble teams at 11 and 10 right now, that's pretty good for everybody involved.
Well, if you're those coaches and you made it this far, congratulations on getting your ticket punched to the big dance. Yeah, interesting. You've got Michigan State in there, who as a 5 seed will be a beast. But we'll get to that breakdown later on in the show. For the East, so bottom left, if you're visualizing the bracket, we have the 1 seed Arizona coming out of the Pac-12 facing Colgate, who won the Patriot. 8 versus 9, the Butler Bulldogs playing against VMI. So VMI gets that 9 seed after winning the conference season regular title but losing in the conference tournament championship. 5 seed is Duke facing off against 12 seed Florida. In the 4 versus 13, Green Bay is going to play the 13 seed winner of Lafayette and Washington. I'd pause there, but I don't want to focus too much on myself here, but just know there's a big ass grin on my face. We'll go to the 6 versus 11. Ohio State plays against Louisville. 3 versus 14, Old Dominion versus Georgia State. 7-10 is Penn State out of the A-10 and Seton Hall. And then 2 versus 15, we have Boston College, Albany. I will take a quick second there, Matt, for your thoughts on the bubble here.
Well, first, congratulations. Very interesting to see a play-in game as a 13, too. That'll be interesting. I'm interested to see the SORs to see where that is. Washington getting in. That's another. I'm interested to see that SOR. I don't know. I didn't think that they'd get in. I thought that Arizona State's SOR being at around a 60, a loss to them. I don't know. Interesting. And Florida is a 12. That's a really good thing for them. And yeah, Seton Hall is as a 10. Some very interesting bubble choices here.
Yeah, I feel like Florida had a much higher seed and bowed out last season, but I can't exactly remember. Funny, interesting fact, Lafayette and Washington played earlier this year in a non-conference matchup, and Lafayette lost on the road by 2 points. So we'll hope for another tight contest out of those 13 versus 13 seeds. Let's go to the top right of your screen, the Midwest. Number one seed out of the Midwest, Michigan, facing the winner of UNC Asheville and Colorado State. In the 8-9, we have Ohio against Texas. That should be an interesting matchup in major versus major. 5 versus 12, Wake Forest against Connecticut. So we see Connecticut get in there. 4 versus 13, Loyola of Chicago, the dangerous Ramblers, with the 6th best roster in the country as the 4 against 13 seed Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne. In the 6 versus 11, Fresno State playing against UCLA. That'll be a fascinating sort of West Coast-based matchup. 3 versus 14, Kansas out of the Big 12, facing Wagner out of the NEC. 7 versus 10, in the battle of Midwest teams, Notre Dame is going to face off against 10 seed Northwestern. And then 2 versus 15, Villanova staying against a Philadelphia foe playing Penn. So there we have the Midwest. Any bubbles get burst based on that readout, Matt?
Well, UConn getting in, that's a big thing there. UCLA also getting in as an 11 seed. That's very interesting to me. Let's see. Other than that, Northwestern. Hey, congratulations to Northwestern. That's their first appearance in the NCAA tournament. I know that, you know, that Big Ten can be really, really tough to get through, but congratulations to Northwestern. That's a huge task.
Can we talk about Northwestern? We don't have to talk about them, but they get in as a 10 seed after finishing 5th in the Big Ten. They'll undoubtedly be favored against Notre Dame. They have the 26th best roster in the country. Hats off to them. Like, I don't think anyone talks about this program. I was shocked to learn that they have the 26th best roster in the country. So this might not be the last we've heard of Northwestern. Let's put it that way. But let's finish off the bracket reveal, and then Matt, you and I can get into some thoughts. Bottom right of your screen, the South. Number one seed out of the South. Indeed, Oklahoma State did get that one seed. They will face off against the Vandals of Idaho out of the Big Sky. 8 versus 9. The 8 seed Radford out of the A-10 facing off against Gonzaga out of the WCC. 5 versus 12. UVA gets that 5 seed. They will play the winner of Cincinnati versus Auburn. So that is your 12 seed matchup in the first four. 4 versus 13, UNLV against Chattanooga as the 13. Missouri as the 6 playing against Canisius, the 11. So that's where Canisius slotted after winning the MAC conference tournament. 3 versus 14, there's the conference staple, or excuse me, the conference or the NCAA tournament staple, UNC as a 3, playing against another North Carolina team, UNC Wilmington, as the 14. And then your last two matchups, 7 versus 10, Kentucky, number 7, against St. Joseph's, 10. And then to round it off, Wisconsin, number 2 seed in the South, against North Carolina Central, the winner of the MEAC. I'm going to catch my breath and, Matt, just give you the mic here to share everything that's going on in your mind.
Wow. Cincinnati, Auburn. Interesting. Interesting. I'd be interested to look in the at that, because I think Cincinnati won the American, if I'm correct. So I'm very interested to see them in a play-in game there. But obviously I'm not complaining or anything like that. Couple things that really jump out to me. First of all, congratulations, Chattanooga is a 13. But Gonzaga getting up to a 9 seed, I did not think that their conference tournament run, like their opponents, would boost them up to a 9 seed. That's very interesting. And Canisius had an 11 seed. Interesting. That's some interesting seeding, but, I mean, it makes for some very, very compelling matchups up here. That Radford-Gonzaga game is going to be fantastic. Also, UNC Wilmington, North Carolina, that's going to be a great game. Kentucky, and then 7-10 matchup between Kentucky and St. Joe's, two top 25 ranked rosters, and they're playing in a 7-10 matchup.
You have a very underperforming team in St. Joe's slotting in as the 10 seed with the 13th best roster in the country. So Wisconsin, I don't want to say I feel bad about your chances. I think you got a great chance, especially after that run through the Big Ten, the Big Ten tournament. But that is not a great draw to have a high potential team like St. Joe's and even Kentucky coming out of that pod. But we'll see how it all shakes out. Congrats to all the teams involved. Matt, I've got a few more minutes to go through a couple of these regions. If you've got a few more minutes yourself.
Oh yeah, I'm good. Let's do it.
So let's start with the West. I mentioned it before. Michigan State, the 5 seed in the region with the 3rd best roster in the entire sim, but also having to face the Aztecs, who are the 18th best roster. So not exactly a gimme game in the 5-12, but I mean, is every team just looking at that bracket thinking, like, what the hell happened here? How did we get so unlucky to draw Michigan State as a 5?
Yeah, that is a very interesting, thing there, seating there. Michigan State has, just looking at their starting 5, they've got the best front court in the country. Their center, power forward, small forward rating average is 17.33. I mean, that's, as a 5 seed, that's going to be just a tough out for anybody who matches up against them. And San Diego State, they're no slouch themselves. It's going to be a fun first-round game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at some of these other teams. Florida State, who outperformed relative to expectations, but whose reward will be one of two teams, one of those two teams, and facing a Jacksonville State squad, who, by the way, only lost by 8 to ODU earlier this year. So they could be really game as a 3rd team. But sorry, I meant Michigan State and San Diego State. The winner of that game will play the winner of Florida State, Jacksonville State. Ole Miss, as an 11 seed, had the best roster in the SEC and gets a matchup against Monmouth where the roster comparison is 14.638 versus 13.525. So there's a game to circle. Utah, the 6th best roster in the sim, is also in this region. And then, and I'll shut up after this to give you the mic back, Matt. But VCU has got to feel a little unlucky as the last 2 seed in the field. But wow, this region is just stacked. 4 of the top 10 rosters in the country are all in this region.
Yeah, just the bottom half of this bracket is going to be insane. That Monmouth-Mississippi game, you know, Monmouth comes in as the 6th seed. They come in, you know, on a hot streak. They come in with a very young team. But you match them up against Mississippi. Mississippi is the clear favorite. Mississippi is, like, better in every part of the court than Monmouth. So that's going to be a very interesting one, possible upset pick to look at. Utah, VCU, those teams I think are really interchangeable. I think either one could have been the 2 or the 3. That's going to be a very interesting possible matchup in the Sweet 16. Providence, South Carolina, another really, really good game. I think that South Carolina, if you're looking for an upset, I think South Carolina is the one to go there. This is a great bracket. The West is going to be an absolute dogfight.
Well, if Monmouth needed any bulletin board material, Matt, I think you just provided it to them with that breakdown of the 6 versus 11 matchup. Let's go to the East. You know, I don't know how often you find the team with the 17th best roster in the country in Butler playing in the A9 game, but that might spell some interesting trouble for Arizona in the round of 32, depending on if Butler can get by VMI.
Yeah, Butler is a very, very interesting team. I think the thing that's going to be interesting about them is if they do get past VMI to get to match up against Arizona, Butler has a near 20 player on their team and their power forward. If their bench and their shooting guard was a little bit better, I think that they could. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I think that Arizona does have a clear path to the Final Four, but, you know, if anybody gives them any trouble in that top half of the bracket, it's going to be Butler in that 2nd round.
Yeah, and, you know, Butler's had stars emerge during the NCAA tournament in years past, so we could see it happen again. I mentioned Lafayette versus Washington is actually a rematch of a very, very tightly contested non-conference game. Old Dominion has to be feeling pretty good about having the 2nd best roster in this region. And then, as you said, Matt, the region seems to be open for Arizona, but the bottom half of the bracket seems to be really open for ODU, where, again, versus the top, Arizona looms large. So I think ODU has to feel pretty good about not being in their path until later on in that region.
Yeah, I agree. I think that ODU's strength is their front court, and there's not really anybody that matches up well with them. If they can just, you know, pound it down low, I think that they can go far. I think if there's anybody who could give them any trouble, it would be possibly Louisville if they could get by Ohio State, but that's a big if there too. Louisville, Ohio State in the 1st round, that's, you know, ODU does have a good path, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with them.
Yeah, we're accustomed to seeing a lot of craziness in the Big Dance. So I'm looking forward to seeing some more, even potentially in this region. On to the Midwest. On one hand, if you're Kansas as a 3 seed, you're probably really enjoying your draw until you get towards the end of the region where you're facing potentially Villanova, Michigan, or Loyola of Chicago.
Yes, this is going to be a very, very interesting bracket. I think that if you're looking for upsets, this may not be the bracket to go to. Well, it may be. I don't think there's going to be as many upsets as people think. I think that I like Northwestern over Notre Dame. That they've got a better roster. I think that compositionally, I think that they're really good compared to Notre Dame. Fresno State UCLA is a toss-up to me. I don't see Connecticut beating Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest has got a whole bunch of momentum. But yeah, if you're Michigan, if you're Loyola, if you're Kansas, if you're Villanova, I think this is a reason to go chalk. This is a region to go chalk for sure. 1, 2, 3, 4 in this one.
You know, I look at a potential matchup with Wake Forest and Loyola that in the second round that could be really enticing. And you just wonder, is Wake Forest a team that found a way to string together wins at the end of the year, surprisingly win their conference tournament, come out as that 5 and potentially take on all comers? They're going to have probably the hardest path to get to an Elite Eight, having to face potentially Loyola, like I said, and then Michigan. But you know, no denying that Wake Forest is as battle tested as they come playing in the ACC, but also a team that's coming in hot.
Well, and Loyola is I think they're going to be my sleeper to go to the Final Four just because of the new slider settings that we have where we can, your emphasis on your offense and your defense or whatnot. One of the things that's very interesting about Loyola is if you look at their roster makeup, they're not really strong at the center position. They're not really strong at the small forward position, but their power forward and their shooting guard are a 19.9 and a 19.3.
Oh, wow.
So even if you favor more towards, defending the perimeter, they can beat you inside with that power forward. But if you want to, favor down low, they can beat you outside with their shooting guard or their 16.7 point guard. So that's Loyola is going to be a very interesting team to watch. I think that they're going to be my sleeper pick to go into the Final Four from the Midwest.
This could be the season that we see a quote-unquote mid-major cut down the nets at the end of this tournament when you've got Loyola lurking dangerously at their seed, and you've got Nevada and BC, who unfortunately are in a collision course with each other in the same region. But you know, this is as strong of a quote-unquote mid-major, group of teams that we've ever seen, and a group that's only going to get stronger with a lot of these coaches having heavily invested in their recruiting and making sure that there's a lot of continuity in these programs.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Absolutely agreed.
On the South, so Wisconsin gets a share of the Big Ten regular season title, wins the conference tourney, gets a 2 seed, then gets UNC and St. Joe's in their half of the bracket, thanks to, again, as I mentioned, St. Joe's being one of the most underperforming teams and getting a 10 seed despite the 13th best roster in the country.
Yeah, that's a just not a favorable draw for Wisconsin, that's for sure. And then throw in there, you've got Kentucky, who's just blessed with 7 upperclassmen. They've got a bunch of senior leadership. They could be a team that, when the going gets tough, they could have that experience that could get them through. Not favorable if you're Wisconsin, but if you're looking at the top half of the bracket there, Oklahoma State has a very interesting path too. I think they can get to the Sweet 16, but after that, you've got potentially Cincinnati, Virginia, Chattanooga, UNLV, just some really, really good teams just waiting right there to possibly pounce at the Cowboys.
You know, once upon a time, Eli, who we cannot get on the horn to a breakdown as a selection committee of one. You know, once upon a time in the Google Sheets, he did have, experience and youth as sort of two measurables that no one really knew what they actually meant. But you know, maybe there's something to play here. And to your point, a Kentucky team that's got a bunch of juniors, they potentially could make a run here.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's a very dangerous team.
Yeah, possible second round matchup between UVA and UNLV, which would be about as even as it gets with their roster composition. I agree with you in terms of Oklahoma State. It seems like it's their region to lose, but they have a sub 100 strength of schedule. While they take a punch in the mouth from a team like UVA or UNLV, who have played in far more competitive conferences.
Yeah, it's that's going to be a story to watch for sure. I think that you know, Oklahoma State's very balanced too. They've got they've got good strength along the whole roster. Plus, they've got seven upperclassmen, so they are just set and primed for a deep tourney run this year.
Well, I know I can't wait. This is awesome. You know, the only downside of recording this podcast on Tuesday is that we have to wait basically an extra day for the tournament to start. But any lasting thoughts from you, Matt, as we wrap up this podcast and deliver it to the masses?
Oh, man, just once again, just so much fun to be able to do this and put this on for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, it's the one thing that's the hardest. And I think I don't know if I speak for you here, but just, you know, when we get the results, just keeping quiet and watching the Discord conversation going and just having to not take part in it and just be like, you know, oh, sorry, man, I can't actually say anything right now. But then the satisfying feeling of, you know, once you can tell people have listened when, you know, they'll post something, you're like, oh, okay, cool, they know, awesome, sweet. So, but it's going to be a fun tournament. S8's been so much fun, and there's lots of really good teams looking at S9, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I agree with you. It's hard to bite your tongue for as long as we need to bite our tongues. But thanks again to Eli for even being willing to enable us to do this podcast by giving us this information and as much of it as he can to really hopefully enhance the community around the sim. Thank you again to the Real Sim Shady. We'd love to have you hosting this podcast in whatever version or format or topic that you want when life is settled down a little bit. And I know you've got some potential coaching decisions to make, since you alluded to potentially this being your last season at Liberty. So we're all anxious to see what happens. And above all else, thank you to however many listeners end up tuning into this for letting myself personally fumble through about half of this thing. And Matt, to you, it's always awesome doing this. It's funny typing on Discord and then giving you a ring right before this thing. I think we're giddy is the only way that I can really describe it, talking to you about the sim and about the results and all that's to come. So always appreciate your partnership on this and getting number two in the books.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Good to be here.
Okay. Well, with that, we will wrap up this podcast and get it out and published for folks to listen, but congrats to all the tourney teams. No NIT to reveal, unfortunately, but looking forward to interacting with folks on Twitter, Discord, and good luck to everybody. Enjoy the tournament. Take care.